الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. A very interesting khutbah, and I do recommend that you stick around for it or for the translation. The title of the khutbah is "Whosoever does not have mercy to the people, Allah will not show mercy to him." The Shaykh began his khutbah by making the following statement, that the believer is strong in faith. The believer who is strong in faith is characterized by having a live heart, extremely sensitive, gentle and merciful. He is kind towards the weak. He is saddened and feels bad for the one who is distressed. And he shows mercy to the poor. He stretches out his hand to help the one in need. And he avoids harming people. And he hates crime. He is a source of goodness, righteousness and peace to himself and those who are around him. Islam is the message of the best of creation. The message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah said concerning وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ, we have only sent you as mercy to the creation. And every surah of the Quran begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Is there an exception though? There is an exception. Surah At-Tawbah. But then one surah has Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim twice. Which surah? Surah An-Naml has Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim twice. So there are still 114 basmalas in the Quran. This is just extra information. Ala kulli hal. And this actually reflects the fact that the surah begin with "In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful." This reflects the nature of Islam and its attitude towards the pain which the creation goes through. So that means Islam feels bad for, and in a sense it feels kind and compassion towards the creation and strives to guide them. Mercy is an attribute of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May His names be blessed. And His mercy encompasses everything. As Allah said, رَبَّنَا وَسَعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا. Our Lord, You have encompassed everything in mercy and knowledge. And many of the names of Allah, many of the beautiful names of Allah, are actually derivative of the concept of mercy. Such as generosity, bounty, pardoning, all of them are actually manifestations of mercy as well. And in the Hadith Qudsi, Hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, after Allah azza wa jal created the creation, He wrote with a book which is with Him above the throne, that "My mercy exceeds my anger." That means that Allah azza wa jal is more likely to pardon His creation before taking revenge from them. So that means Allah is the most merciful of those who show mercy. The khutbah translation is here, not with the brother. You know, the shaitan brothers, we need to realize this. If it was a business meeting, your eyes would not leave the mudir. You know, because he may say something that's going to increase the salary. But when it comes to the matters of the deen, if a fly flies, we're with the fly. If a mosquito goes with the mosquito, fulan stands, fulan. Focus here. Not because of me, because of the content. Anyone else could be sitting here. Focus on the deen. You may hear something that benefits you. You may miss something that will make you misunderstand the whole khutbah. Don't worry about the people around me. Barakallah feek. Feekum. وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ. And say, "My Lord, forgive and show mercy. You are the best of those who show mercy." So Allah Azza wa Jal is the most merciful. Slaves of Allah, what we see today on earth as signs of compassion, kindness between the people is only is only an aspect of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which He has placed among His creation. So the most kind of hearts among the people will be the one who receives the most mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the hadith it says, the people who are most distant from Allah are those with the hard hearts. Those who don't show compassion, don't show kindness, don't show mercy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to consider the dryness of the eye and the hardness of the heart as a sign of wretchedness, someone who's wretched. And so when Allah Azza wa Jal wanted to show mercy to the creation, take him out from the darkness to the light, from disbelief in polytheism to iman, and to show mercy to the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made his heart one of the best hearts among the creation. And Allah said concerning that, due to a mercy from Allah, linta lahum, you were kind towards them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. And had you been harsh and hard-hearted, they would have spread about from around you. They would have left you. They wouldn't stay with the Prophet ﷺ, even though they wanted to learn the deen. When the people of Mecca tortured the Muslims, and they harmed the Prophet ﷺ, and they chased him until he had to leave, and they fought against him, and they tried to assassinate him, and they fought against his companions in Uhud, and they caused his face to bleed. With all of these tribulations, some of the Sahaba came and said to him, O Messenger of Allah, make dua against them. Supplicate to Allah for Allah to destroy them. He on the other hand said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Allah, forgive my people, they don't know what they're doing. So this was the compassion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now of course there were times where that wasn't the case. When they put that the leftover of the camel's delivery process on his head, and he finished, and Fatima came and removed him, he made dua against them one by one. O Allah, alayka bifulan, bifulan. These are the ones who were killed in the battle of Badr. So his situation was dependent on the circumstances. Just in case someone read these other narrations, say, then how do we understand that? His general attitude was mercy. However, there were times where the hikmah and mercy entailed that he asked Allah to take revenge from individuals who prevented people from entering into the deen of Allah. So it is still a form of mercy, but we just have to look into it a little deeper. So this was the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had spoken of the hardness of the heart, that it is the source of destroying an individual and or a nation. And so you read Allah saying to the Muslims, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَمَا نَزَلَ مِنَ الْحَقِّ وَلَا يَكُونُ كَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِ فَطَالَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَمَدُ فَقَسَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. Had the time not come for the hearts of the believers to become lenient, to soften to the remembrance of Allah and what has been sent down of the truth, and that they are not like those who were given the scriptures before, the term was prolonged for them, so their hearts became hard, and many of them are defiantly corrupt and disobedient. So the quality, the characteristics of the Jews and the Christians is that with the extension of time, their hearts became hard. When signs of that started to appear among the Sahaba say, Allah revealed this ayah. The ulama of tafsir say, Allah revealed this ayah, reprimanding the Sahaba. Has the time not come for the hearts of the believers to be softened, for them to reach that level? And he warned them from following the ways of those who preceded them. So the hardness of the heart is an indication that nations before us were destroyed, and that we will be destroyed if we follow them on their footsteps. Brothers in Iman, Islam commanded that you have a general form of mercy. But you will not truly believe until you show mercy to your brothers. And mercy is not confined, which is what is happening now, to your buddy, your friend. Obviously the people in your circle These are the ones we have a particular behavior or a code of conduct with, because these are your relatives or whatever. But to strangers, people have a whole different attitude. And this is not mercy. This is favoritism. This is a form of racism, that you show mercy to particular people because of some relationship with them, and then the rest of the people, the strangers, there's no mercy to them. Islam commands this comprehensive mercy to those who are near you and those who are far. Furthermore, the Shaykh explained that a man may smile in the face of his friends, or he may be kind to his children, but when it comes to strangers, he will not give them the same treatment. Furthermore, the Prophet ﷺ said, whosoever does not show mercy to the people, Allah will not show mercy to him. And in another riwayah, whosoever does not pardon, Allah will not forgive him. If you don't forgive others, Allah will not forgive you. The last thing the Shaykh said concerning this is that mercy does not mean that you become weak and soft. It doesn't mean that you overlook the mistakes of people and that you don't punish them if there's a punishment necessary. In fact, punishing is a form of mercy. When you punish the thief or the fornicator or anything else, or the killer, it's actually mercy to him and to the community and the society. So don't think that this is a form of mercy or this is blameworthy. It is not a sign of weakness. And he said, you may be a little stern with people while mercy is intended, such as the children. You send them to school, you force them to go to school, you force them to do their homework, you force them to study. They don't like it, but you insist on them doing it, even though it appears that you're being tough, but you're actually being merciful to them. So we have to look beyond the surface to understand the aspects of mercy. O believers, after we have known this, that Islam commands the general mercy, there are particular individuals, however, who deserve manifold, multiplied amount of mercy, more than the rest of the people. And the first on the list are your relatives. The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith in Tirmidhi, though the merciful, the most merciful will have mercy on. The merciful people, the most merciful Allah will have mercy on. Have mercy on those who are upon earth, then the one who's above the heavens will have mercy on you. Ar-Rahim, this is Silat Ar-Rahim, is actually connected, is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is close to Allah. Whosoever connects it, Allah will connect him, and whosoever disconnects it, Allah will disconnect him. And actually, Rahim actually comes from Rahmah, as it comes in the other narration. The Shaykh said here, you notice he spoke to me after the khutbah, because he mentioned something on the minbar which is not written on the paper, and he wanted to make sure that I don't forget it, alhamdulillah, which is the fact that some of us, the expatriates, those who come to this country seeking a better lifestyle or more income or what have you, some of us, not all of us, some of us, when they come here, they forget about their relatives. They come here and khalas, they get into the mode of life, and it's just about making their bank account a little larger in terms of the amount of money, and they ignore and forget their poor relatives who may not even have anything to eat. The Shaykh said, where's the mercy in that? How are you going to forget your relatives and your close family members now that Allah has blessed you? And on the contrary, if Allah gave you money, if Allah blessed you and facilitated your affairs, remember them. Don't forget about them. Send money. We have Western Union, Speed Cash, and Jazz, all these, what do you think they have them for? Send money to these people. The money, that money Allah will bless. Don't think that you will lose. مَا نَقَصَ مَال مِن صَدَقَةً. No wealth has ever been decreased because of a sadaqah. Let alone a sadaqah to a relative. Let alone your own parents. Your own parents who have a right over us. Specifically in terms of the finance. If they're unable to survive and lead a decent life back in their home countries. And Allah said concerning the parents in particular, وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, and lower for them the wing of mercy, the wing of humiliation out of mercy. And say, O Allah, have mercy on them as they raised me while I was young. Also mercy to children. So your relatives have a special form of mercy, more mercy than the rest of the people. Your parents, then your children. And he quoted the hadith of Anas concerning the death of Ibrahim, the Prophet's son, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that Prophet ﷺ entered first time and he hugged him and kissed him as someone would do to his child. Then the next time around they visited him, he was in the agonies of death. He was dying. And so then the Prophet ﷺ started crying. Abdurrahman ibn Awf said, "Anta ya Rasulullah, you O Messenger of Allah," he understood that if you accept Allah's decree, then you wouldn't cry. Because that negates accepting what Allah ordained. And he told him, Prophet ﷺ explained to him, this is mercy from Allah. Yani, there's nothing wrong with crying. And in other narrations he said, this is mercy which Allah instills in the hearts of His believing slaves. Then he said, verily the eye shed tear and the heart is saddened, but we don't say anything except that which pleases Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah we belong and to Allah we shall return. And we are saddened over the departure of Ibrahim. So it is normal to cry. It is normal. If you don't cry, that's abnormal. Because the Messenger of Allah cried, alayhi sallam. What is not accepted though, is beating the cheeks and slapping one's face and ripping one's clothes and screaming in the street and acting like, you know, this is the first person that ever died and the last person that will ever die. This is what Islam rejects totally. And this is from Jahiliyyah. And the person will be punished for the action of his relatives if he doesn't warn them before he dies. Yeah, and if you know you have family members who act in this fashion, it is an obligation on you to warn them before you die. I reject any such behavior, because some of the ahadith say that the person, the deceased will be tortured because of this behavior. The ulama say, meaning if he approved it, if he did not warn them. So you know some relatives may act out from the beginning in your will, in your wasiyah, you write, I reject this. If you do so, you're not held accountable. If you approve it, then you become accountable for this behavior. This is not from Islam in any way, shape or form. Then he quoted another hadith, wherein the Prophet ﷺ kissed his grandson, Al-Hasan, the son of Ali. And a man whose name is Al-Aqra was sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He told him, I have 10 children, I've never kissed a single one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he who does not show mercy will not have mercy shown to him. Yani, this is lack of mercy that you don't kiss your children. Be merciful to your children. And buying him a Super Nintendo or a PlayStation is not necessarily mercy. Mercy is when you teach them Islam and you make sure that they're, you know, behave well and that they're joining the tahfidh circles and that they're, you know, propagating the deen of Allah. That's mercy. Not buying them candy and chocolate and, you know, bake. The Shaykh said it is not permissible for the Muslim to lock up his heart and his home and abandon and sever his kinship ties with his relatives, so that he does not communicate with them, he does not help them, he does not look after them, he does not, you know, take care of their needs. Or that a mother abandons her husband, or a mother is abandoned by her husband because of his wife, which is a major problem, the problem of the in-laws. Yani, the wife says, it's either me or your mom. And so some of the husbands, may Allah rectify the condition, they favor their wife over their mom, which is the worst decision in the world. Never, never will you favor your wife over your mom. Even if your mom is wrong, even if you're wrong, you try to deal with the injustice in an Islamic way. But you don't take sides with your wife over your mom, because that's not going to solve any problem for you. And then you have to advise your wife. You want me to have a problem with the one who brought me into this dunya? If you love me, quote unquote, then how could you not love the one who made me exist for you? Try to be wise. Tell her, fear Allah, this is my mom. She's a little different. She has her own ways. ما في مشكلة. We will try to deal with it. But don't try to be on the other end with my mom, because you will lose. If you make your wife feel that she will win, you will lose. One day. Because some women just keep playing games until they make you, you know, stop speaking to your parents and your relatives. I've heard this, I hear this all the time. My wife doesn't like my family. When we go back to our home country, she doesn't want to meet with any of them. Ishada. And the brother, you know, does what his wife tells him. He goes there, he's in the same country next to his parents. He's too afraid to call them on the phone. Why? His wife may catch him. You're the man. Put her in her place. If she's no good, salamu alaikum. Divorce, yalla go. But never forsake your parents because of your wife. I hope this is clear. Try to work it out. If it doesn't work out, your parents before your wife. Specifically when they're in the wrong, on the wrong end and they're oppressing your parents. So that was the first khutbah. The second khutbah, the Shaykh said, another category of people who deserve a special mercy are the orphans. Are the orphans. Look after them, be kind to them, take care of them financially. This is among the best deeds and among the best ways to purify your heart and to soften your heart from the hardness which is in it. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained to him about the hardness of his heart. He told him, wipe over the orphan's head. Wipe over his head and feed someone who is needy. This is one of the means to soften your heart. So the yatama and the masakeen, what do we have for them today? What have we given them? And no, the miskeen are not these ladies hanging outside. They're not the ones that you see at the traffic light. For 2 years I've been seeing the same lady. She must have more money than all of us in this masjid combined. For how long do you beg? Every time one riyal. For one day they make hundreds of money. Hundreds of riyals, believe it. They've caught many of them. You know, under her mattress she had 20,000 riyals, a bum. 20,000 riyals under her mattress, she's living in the street. So, ma'alesh yani. If you want to give them, jazakallah khair. But these are not the miskeen which Islam is speaking about. The real miskeen is the one who keeps his mouth shut. Not the one who speaks after the salah and tells you his biography. That's not it. He's someone who is in need, but he's too shy to ask. This is the one you look for. This is the best place to give money. If you want to give those, that's between you and Allah. We're not going to tell you, you will not get ajr. Allah will give you according to the niyyah. But we're afraid that we're helping them continue in this nonsense. Yani shabab, mashallah, 20 years old, all muscles, yeah, I cannot find a job. No way, ya akhi. And if you cannot find a job, you don't go begging in 20 different masajid. So we have to be very careful where we put our money. Because they're being encouraged to continue, you know, begging. And the money could have been to someone genuinely in need. Specifically our relatives back home. Think in your mind, this 5 riyals, which I was going to give it to you, I'm going to send it to my parents back home. Collect it on the side. Every day collect the money on the side, then find a genuinely needy person. Or give them food. And if you want to know whether they are real bums or not, wallahi, maybe 2 or 3 months ago, we went to a restaurant, and after, I never, you know, this is my way, and it's the sunnah actually, we never throw away food. Whatever's left on the table, even if it's some salad and a piece of bread, I tell the guy, safari. They look at me as crazy. Safari, this? Safari, that's none of your business. I'm not going to throw it in the trash. This is ni'mah. They give it to you in a bag. You may order another bottle of water, another chicken, whatever that is. And when you're driving by, if they really need it, give them the food. Wallahi, I gave one of them the food. She said, I don't need food, I need money. I said, what do you mean you don't need food? Subhanallah al-Azim. If you're bumming, if you're begging in the street, how can you be full? If I give you food. So then when I told her, I'm not going to give you money, she said, okay, give me the food. I said, no, not anymore. Because you're really not a bum. So when you give them food, you've done your job. You didn't give them money, and they will eat it anyways. It's very difficult, it's far-fetched that they will throw it away. They will eat it, and that way you will give them sadaqah, and you will not lose your money. And instead of the food being thrown away, alhamdulillah, you've utilized it in a good way. Whatever, even fool in Tamiz, tell him, I want safari. This is your right in every restaurant. And when you're driving by the traffic light, tfaddali. Intah al-mawdu. I've tried it, it worked. Maybe you can try it, inshallah. Yeah. They go then buy some nice meal. Allah musta'an. Allah islahum. Tayyib, so these are the yatama. Among those who deserve mercy are the maids and the workers. And I guess the Shaykh was trying to deliver a message to a group of people, the sponsors, who basically take advantage of those who work for them. You know, the whole business of kafala and this whole thing is really, according to some, a form of slavery. It's modern day slavery, you know. They try to give it some diplomatic description, but at the end of the day, it's making someone a slave for you. Now, not everyone is like that, but many are like that. Every time you need to renew your qama, jeep. Every time you khuruj auda, jeep. Every month, you give them ish. So they sit at home, you know, take a nap, and they don't work. They live off the 5-6 people working for them. So Zalla Khair Sheikh addressed this issue, and you saw him, and you heard him, in a very fierce manner. And this is needed for those, you know, hard-minded and people who don't understand. And they don't realize this is a Muslim that they're taking advantage of. It's haram. This money is haram. You cannot take advantage of someone. And he quoted a hadith to support that. Abi Mas'ud, not Ibn Mas'ud. Abi Mas'ud al-Badri. This is someone else. He was beating a slave of his. Now mind you, back then slavery existed as in you own someone. You own him. He doesn't own himself. He can, you know, he's your property. And he was beating him with a stick. He heard in the background someone saying, "I'lam Abu Mas'ud, no, Abu Mas'ud." So he said, he was so angry, the ulama say, he was so angry he could barely make out, you know, what he heard. Then finally the noise or the sound came close to him. And he found out it was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam telling him, "No, Abu Mas'ud, that Allah is more able, has more ability over you than you over the slave." So he told him, "O Messenger of Allah, he is free for the sake of Allah. I free him now." Look what he told them. He said, "Had you not done so, then the fire would have struck you." Now this is a man beating a slave. Had you not freed him for the sake of Allah, emancipated him, لَلَفَحَتْكَ النَّارِ, the fire would have struck you. Because of what? Wronging someone. And the same thing applies. So this idea is very strange and abhorrent in Islam. To take advantage of a Muslim and make him work for you and pay you because you own him or because you are his sponsor. This shouldn't be the case. On the contrary, this, you know, and this, again, not everyone. There are some people with the sickness. Many people, alhamdulillah, we heard of, you know, kufala, who are nice and gentle and they help the person who they... We're not generalizing, just so no one will misinterpret the text here. There are people like this and people like that in every country, in every place. But those who are taking advantage, they need to be warned severely from Allah's punishment. And Allah Azza wa Jal will take revenge from them even if after some time. And the Shaykh said, be careful. Remember that these people that you're taking advantage of, they may have a family back home who's waiting for them to make this money. You take this money and you consume it and you deprive them of their right. Or he spoke to businesses who don't pay the salary for 3, 4, 5 months. As if the person is working for them for free. They don't realize that behind him and behind is a family and relatives who are waiting for the money, for them to pay the rent, for them to eat. And this money is being kept away for no valid reason. For no valid reason. So he said, fear Allah and be careful of their dua. The dua of the oppressed, there's no barrier between it and Allah. لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ. And Allah Azza wa Jal will say in Hadith Qudsi, I shall grant you victory even after some time. Yani the fact that Allah doesn't immediately respond to the dua, it doesn't mean that Allah has abandoned that. That time will come even, وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ, even after some time, the da'wah of the mazloom will be accepted by Allah and the zalim will get that da'wah. Whatever it is. So we need to be very careful on how to deal with employees. And in our case, those you know who are working for others, then you have people working under you. You may be a mudir, manager, director, ila akhirihi. Then we have the same responsibility towards those we are in charge of. If you have employees working under you, do not then oppress them and take advantage of them and wrong them, because you will also be in the same shoes. And towards the end of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, the mercy of Islam extends not only to human beings but to animals. This is required. And he quoted a couple of narrations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about the woman who entered the fire because of a cat which she imprisoned. She neither let the cat, she neither fed the cat, nor did she let the cat eat from, you know, the hashash al-ard, the grass and whatever, you know, the insects which the cats eat. She didn't feed it and she didn't give it the means to eat on its own. She imprisoned this cat until it died. This lady entered the fire because of a cat. On the other hand, we have a few narrations. One of them mentions a man, and the other one mentions a woman. And both of them, the woman is a prostitute actually, from Bani Israel. The summary of the hadith is that this man or woman were in the desert. It was very hot. They were, you know, dying of thirst almost. And then they found a dog in the same condition. So after having drunk and finished their need, they went back down into the well and used their leather socks to put some water for the dog, provided the dog with water. Allah appreciated their act and He forgave them their sins. So the Shaykh said, lack of mercy will make someone go to Jahannam, and some mercy may erase all of your sins. This is to an animal, a form of mercy to an animal, Allah forgave a prostitute from all of her sins and she entered Jannah because of feeding a dog, providing him with something to drink. So the Shaykh said, then reflect on the greatness of mercy and the importance of mercy. At the end of the khutbah, the Shaykh said, O slaves of Allah, the human being has not been distinguished amongst the rest of the creation because of his physical ability or his strength. Rather, they are among the creation those who are stronger than the son of Adam, you know, elephants, whales, lions, ila akhirihi. But Allah had made the human being distinct because of his heart, because of his soul, because of his mind, and because of his emotions. So it is not something to be proud of that you are stern and tough. Some people say, you know, be tough. Don't show any lenience, that this is a sign of strength. The Shaykh said, where did you get that from? Where is that philosophy from? This is incorrect. Rather, look at the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way he used to be, behave in the same form, in the same manner. This is strength. This is strength, that you humble yourself, that you treat people with kindness, that you show them compassion. He said, mercy is humbleness in oneself and defiance of one's kibriya, arrogance. And rahmah is that you enjoin what is good, forbid what is evil, and keep the kinship ties. Show mercy to those who are handicapped, to the orphans and to the distressed, and help them and bring happiness into their hearts. He mentioned something else, I guess, which he didn't mention here either, concerning that. Enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil is mercy. Because some people say this is extreme. Every time you see something wrong, you speak against it. Every time you see an opportunity to remind, you remind. Take it, this is too much. This is, you know, difficulty in the deen. This is not mercy. We say no. This is mercy. It's mercy to the people that you remind them of Allah's rights, that you try to guide them from their misguidance. So the Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy anil Munkar is a manifestation of mercy. And don't believe those who try to tell you otherwise, which means that we should do it as well. Giving da'wah to the Muslims and the non-Muslims is the epitome of mercy. Then the Shaykh said at the end of the khutbah, mercy will result in love between the creation, and it is the happiness of the heart, and it is a road to Jannah. And then he quoted the ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Muhammadun Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walladheena ma'ahu ashiddaw ala kuffari ruhama'u baynahum. Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Messenger of Allah, and those who are with him, ashidda, they are tough and stern against the kuffar, ruhama'u baynahum, they are merciful and kind to one another. And this is the conclusion of the khutbah translation. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Barakallahu feek.